Last night I was praying, and I got to thinking about people I've heard on TV, you know, read in books, heard them on the radio. I even know a bunch of people, Christian people. You know, we go to church, they're Christians and all this and that, but a lot of people, I believe, and this is no country saying, but a lot of people that claim to be Christians, I believe, are off the track. And they're out here doing what we call running rabbits. Have you ever met people like you? That's, me and Al talk about them a lot. They're not walking on the foundation. There's a lot of people, millions of people, that spend millions of dollars and probably multiple millions of man-hours out looking for the, you know, trying to figure out if the shroud of Turin is right. Is it the shroud that Jesus wore? Looking for the cup that he drank of at the Last Supper. Looking for the Ark of the Covenant. There's people that spend millions of dollars trying to figure out what the Shriners are doing and what the Masons are doing. And all these other things. Conspiracy theories. There's millions of them. And people will spend multiple hours out doing these things. And spend 10 minutes a day reading their Bible. But they can't figure out what's wrong in their life. I don't need to know if the Shroud of Turin has Jesus' DNA on it. I mean, that's good and fine. But the Shroud of Turin ain't going to get me to heaven. The cup that Jesus drank from ain't going to get me to heaven. I don't care what the Masons are doing. It makes me no difference. I know people that go to church that, you know, they sit and look at their money and try to figure out what the Masons has done to it. They get on these wild tales about the temple knights and the Holy Grail and all these things. And all that don't mean a lot to me. All it means a lot to me is what y'all were saying about. And that's Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is not a door to heaven. He's the door to heaven. There's a big difference. A lot of preachers I know spend their whole life sitting and watching TV, reading books about the nation of Israel, seeing what's going on over in the nation of Israel. And they'll come to me and they'll say, do you think that they're going to rebuild that temple? That don't mean a whole lot to me. I feel that feeling. You ever felt that? What means something to you, Al? Jesus Christ. The door. If those people build a temple, that don't mean nothing to me. I hope they build one and accept Jesus Christ if they plan on going to heaven. Because He is the door. There is no other way unto the Father except through Jesus Christ. I don't care who it is, they'll go through Jesus or they won't make it. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the only begotten Son of the Father that came and died for you and was resurrected the third day for you to have life, you won't make it. There's no other way. Don't know why I even got off on that. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. A lot of people today is trying to say He's a way, that Allah is a way. You know, Jesus is a way, and all roads lead to heaven. That's hogwash. That ain't in the Bible. Jesus is the way. It don't matter to the Jew, the Greek, the Gentile, it don't matter who it is. Jesus is the way. Through Him or not at all. Turn to Matthew 20 today. Y'all pray for me. Matthew chapter 20, we find the parable of the hired laborers. Start with verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, or saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. And when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should receive more money, should have received more money. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil, because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. I was reading this story. I got to thinking. I preached in a lot of churches around Middle Tennessee. I've been all around, used to everywhere, sometimes two or three times a week, to different churches, different denominations. Been to a bunch of them. But some places stick out to me. Several places stick out to me, and the people that I've met over the years. And the ones that really stick out to me are those ones that whenever you talk to them, you can tell at one time they've been a pretty good size outfit. A lot of people in attendance, a lot of young people, a lot of things going on. But they want to tell you about what used to be. Boy, we used to. We would go, we'd have preachers go out every week and get on the radio and preach out to the people, reach out to them. We used to have people that would go over to the projects and they would walk around and hand out Bible tracts and speak to those people. We used to have services where the preachers wouldn't even get to open their mouth and the Holy Ghost would come and the altar would fill up and people would be saved. And be filled with the Holy Ghost. That we used to have sick people that were healed. We used to have miracles. We used to have an apostle in our presence. We used to have a prophet in our presence. Some of the saddest people you'll ever meet on earth are people that can only remember what used to be. What used to be. In your many years that you've been living, you've seen a lot of that, hadn't you? What used to be. I've talked to many, it's mostly older people that I talk to that do this. I used to run with a preacher, probably one of the greatest men of God I ever know from up in Grundy County, Brother Walter Burnett. We preached in brush arbors. We fought mountain hornets and everything else preaching the gospel to people. But he would tell me, about what used to be, what it was like. These people up here at Philadelphia Church across the road, the Baptist Church, you go up there tomorrow, they'll be at church. Get some of the older ones, and they'll say, you wouldn't believe what this church used to be. At one time, we would have revivals, and there'd be so many people in the building that they couldn't even nobody get in. And they would stand all out in the cemetery. And we would raise the windows so they could hear us sing and hear the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. And when we give an altar call, so many people was filling the aisles that people outside would have to be picked up and slid through the windows. Heard it a million times. What used to be. Used to, we had a preacher that would come in and he would just point people out and straighten them out. Used to, preachers didn't care to get up and hurt your feelings because they weren't worried about your money. Used to, preachers would get up and preach the Bible instead of some a doctrine they've learned somewhere at a college on how to wring every cent they can out of an old widow woman or something. What used to be? Used to, there was a church where they was so powerful that they could walk down the street and if their shadow hit a lame man or a blind man or a sick man, a diseased man, and they would be healed. Used to, there was a church, Brother Al, where you could put oil on this handkerchief and send it to somebody with a sore throat and they would be healed. How many people is tired of hearing about what used to be? I love the old stories. They give me faith. But all my life, it's all I've ever heard is preachers running their mouth and telling people, you turn on the TV, it's on there everywhere. You go up and down the road, it's everywhere. Telling the people just constantly about the power, the things they've done, the power that they have. Well, where is it? Well, they'll be talking about used to. You know, Brother Walton knows, I read a lot of his articles. Most people ain't spiritual enough to know that it is used to be. They still think it is today. But you go there and sit with them, it ain't there. I know churches that I've been to a lot of churches around, you know, Assemblies of God, Methodist, all this and that. And you go in there today and they don't know that they're not like the first church. They don't know that. 1 out of 50 will get healed. But they think that everybody's being healed. You can't tell them no different. They're walking in the fullness of the power of the kingdom in their mind. If you can't look around at the church world and figure out that it ain't what it used to be, you have spiritual problems. Because it definitely ain't. But we need to come to that place. We're at a crossroads. And we've come to this place. Me and the sister talk about it all the time. Let's cook. We're at that crossroads. Like Tom preached on last week. We've got to make some decisions. Are we going to continue to live on what used to be? I'll make it personal, will you? Is the people of the living God going to continue to live on what used to be? Or are we going to commit to God and take hold of it and turn it into what it ought to be today? I love to see a good prophecy, and I rarely see one. Most of the people I see prophesy is a bunch of fortune tellers. That's about the highlights of that. I love to see all these things in operation. I love to see people healed and have. I have been healed before by the Lord. Miraculous healings. But I want to see it. Like what Tom and Brother Walton and all of us preach, but I'm talking about the fullness of the power of the kingdom. I'm not talking about an occasional healing or an occasional something or an occasional prophecy or an occasional whatever. I'm talking about living in that anointing. Jesus Christ came in the flesh to show us an example of how to do this. And He did it. In the flesh, He did it. So therefore, if He's our example, I have to assume that it can be done. It's just some things is hard. They don't come easy. We're used to, we do the Lord, just like a drive-up restaurant or something. We place our order and we want it. In about 3 minutes or we're going to throw a fit. Maybe even drive off. Is that right? How do we get to this place? That's the magic question. That's the million-dollar question. It apparently ain't by doing what I've always done. Because I'd be there already. So something's got to change. And I can't live in my past of what God has done in my past. I remember that and it boosts my faith. But I can't live in it. God, all right, you say God has called this people. The song in the front of your book, you sang it every week. And I like it. And I understand the meaning of it. These people that's been lighted need to go out all over the world and teach it to people. It's in darkness and all that. Well, how are we going to do that? How is the church? Do you know that the kingdom of God that Jesus taught is not being taught in the world? Very seldom do I hear somebody teach on the kingdom of God the way that Christ taught it. They're either waiting for something to float down out of the sky and last 1,000 years somewhere over in Israel, or they've got it so butchered up I don't even know what they're saying. The kingdom. Brother Walton preached it one day here. It's power. Is that what it says? It's peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Jesus said it was at hand. You can reach out there and get it. It's within you. If the word's going to have to get out, then how's it going to get out? If we continue to do the things that we've done since this great outpouring was here, we're going to continue to be in the same state we're in now, talking about what used to be. I'm ready to talk about what is. Y'all are probably the only people I know that say they have a call from God, been set aside, chosen. I'm not talking about the regular set aside, chosen. I'm talking about having a mission. Most people don't know why they're on this planet. To get motorcycles and four-wheelers and land and stuff, I reckon. I don't know why they're here other than that. But y'all say you have a mission. That you have this knowledge and this truth that have been passed down from godly men. And I don't doubt that. More truth probably anywhere I've ever heard. Ever. Like Brother Walton, I searched the world out, maybe on computer or something though, trying to find that church it spoke of. Brother Walton's article said one time, been searching the earth for 70 years and hadn't found it yet. But if they do, let them know where it's at because they want to join it. It's about as simple as it can get. We can't continue. It seems to me like though, say one of these youngsters here, one of these teenagers. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when a younger one or somebody ain't been saved as long as you have and ain't full of knowledge you are, that God is just pouring it on them. It seems like everything they do is blessed and they're winning souls and all that. But then you'll have that crowd that'll be like getting upset over that. You know, like the ones I was reading about there. You don't want to be that way neither. I've seen that all my life. I've seen young people that outdid nearly every old person in the churches I was at. In reading their Bible, praying, and soul winning. And they'd always be some old preacher or something, somebody in authority most of the time would come over and just blow their hair back. You know, make up all kinds of stuff on them because they're making them look bad. That happens a lot in the church. I hope that don't happen here. God has set men in this church and gave them the authority to run it. And it's not God's will that I come and try to buck Mr. Walton's authority or any of these other brothers, whoever's in charge, Brother Al, some of them. You know that God has a divine order? If Brother Walton's doing something that I don't like, I need to fast and pray for Brother Walton. Or do I need to make a call and start running my mouth about Brother Walton and how the church is run? See, there's many ways to keep getting to that place. Stuff like that will keep you living in the past of what used to be. God set leaders in this church. They need to be prayed for. Every day. If you're a member here, you need to be praying for these men. If you're in God's church, you need to be praying for these men. To give them wisdom, knowledge of how to run this church. How to run this group of people. And how to get that gospel out. Or are we just going to live in what used to be? That's not a good place to be. What used to be. When I got to thinking about this people that live in God, you know, I've heard a lot of stories. I've talked to you for several years now. I know that some of you have a great zeal, and you know what where I'm coming from with all this stuff. And you want to enter in. That's what y'all call it, entering in. Want to enter in. You want to do all these things. And had that special call, prophetic call from God. That's awesome. But whenever I was thinking about it, I remembered a scripture. I'll read it to you. It's in the chapter 1 of Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah had a prophetic call. Chapter 1, verse 4 through 10. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. That is pretty much the equivalent of what you've told me that God has called this people to do. That's some good stuff, ain't it, brother? Even for the church to operate right, things have to be pulled down and thrown down and planted and all these things. Whenever you got just an uproar in the church or people bucking against authority or our brothers bucking against other brothers, or sisters against sisters, it'll never be. You'll always be in that place to where you're talking about what used to be. We need to get all that right there done. Inside these walls first. To where we can get out there. To the nations. And speak that God gave you. Just like that song, Greenland's Icy Mountain. You can't go out and speak it to the world. If things is built up, walls is built up between people. It's hard feelings against one another. We got to get to that place where we're like you're writing over here on the wall. When we get like that, Then we need to make a way to get out to the nations and preach this gospel of the kingdom. And get out there and tear down things and build things and plant things. The world is walking in bondage. They need somebody to show them the light, to tell them how to get the shackles off, how to get the scales off their eyes so that they can really see what the kingdom of God is. God has called these people for a great call. But it's up to us to keep ourselves humble and clean and in the love of Christ. This morning everybody wanted to sing about the love of Christ, the love of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. You come to Jesus, to God by that blood, you'll stay clean by that blood. If the churches go out and have a big revival, they expect every one of those lost people that's committed a sin to hit the altar. But yet they themselves are set here day after day after day without hitting the altar. It's open at all times, it says, for whosoever has a need. Al, I can't clean you if I'm dirty. I can't even tell you how to get clean until I'm clean. The love of Christ. I love what Jesus, whenever He sent the 70 out, and they come back, boy, and they was hollering, you know, just going wild because the spirits were subject unto them. But what did He say? He said, don't rejoice because them spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice because your names is written in heaven. If we'd had a big healing, if somebody dead had got raised this morning, they'd been tearing the building apart. You'd probably got to see some dancing and stuff. But we sung unto the Lord. We worship the Lord. Everybody's just holding tight. You know, Jesus gave them 70 a hard saying. And a lot of them walked off and left. But I always recall what Peter said. He said, well, are y'all going to leave too? And Peter said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Now think of that old song. Where could I go? That's it. There's nowhere to go but to Jesus. Where could I go but to the Lord? If I want to get over this the way it always has been and the way it used to be and get it the way it's going to be, I'm going to have to go to the Lord. Because back then they went to the Lord. Look what they had. That's what we're going to have to do. Go to the Lord. Go to the Lord. Figure out what's wrong with me. Clean myself up. Do what I'm supposed to do. And let you do what you got to do. I can't butt in your business. You don't need to do what I think you need to do. You need to do what God shows you to do. Today I just come to tell you, don't live in the past. The way it used to be. We're way past time. Way past time of getting it the way it's supposed to be. One of you wrote an article here a while back. Still the Great Commission. It said the Great Omission. I don't know who wrote it. That's the truth. That's what's happened. That's exactly what's happened with all the churches. Great Commission is still there, though. Brother Al, he taught me one night in a class. He was talking about going out into the highways and the hedges and compelling them to come in that the house may be filled. Go out and get the lame, the halt, the blind. All these people. Tell them to come into the house of the Lord. About all I can tell you today. Time that we quit. Think about what used to be. Get back in that gospel. Do the things that Jesus said. He didn't omit that. It's still there. It's still there. We omitted it somewhere down through time. Because it's easier just to sit on a padded chair than it is to go ask somebody to come to church or go visit people. I'll ask you just to get a song. I'm done. I could stand up and ramble all day, but I believe I'm done. Are we going to commit to God? Be able to go and tear down and destroy all these things and plant seed and help reap that big harvest? You read about that harvest in the Bible all the time. I know I saw Reinhard Bonnke on TV here a while back. And I broke down in tears. Not that I believe everything he says is, accurately in the gospel, whatever, but he's doing more than I'm doing. He was standing somewhere in Africa on a platform and had big light towers. I mean, huge. Looked like cell towers. Towers, I get right in a minute, y'all. Lights shining everywhere. And he said, "If you love the Lord, let Him know it," or something like that. And I heard a roar of the crowd, and I thought, goodness, how many people is there? And they turned around with a camera like this. And the camera wouldn't even shine or pick up the people. It was millions of people. Millions. It was probably 100 acres of solid people standing there or more. And then it hit me. What am I doing for God? You know? I looked around, there wasn't nobody there but me. My family wasn't even there at that time. I was just standing there alone while Reinhard's standing up in front of millions. Why can't that be us? It's the way God wants it. Go out and compel them. Compel them to come in. Tell them this gospel. Tell them this truth that's been passed to you. Tell them. Go out and spread it. Let's fill it up. If we ain't going to, then let's just hush about it. Tired of hearing it. Tired of hearing it. So I'm going to start telling every church I go to, I'm just tired of hearing it. Let's all just ante up and let's do it. Get you a song. Whatever he's going to say. I think Al's got a sore throat today. Today while they're singing, be a good time to be praying. To get to the place we need to be.